Blog Talk Radio.
To worship. Here I am to praise the name of Jesus. Well, we thank you once again for tuning in to another broadcast every first and third Tuesday. Our own Apostle Leonard Emmons, pastor of Living Way Christian Center, is here with us. We want to thank everyone for joining in tonight, and we pray that you're prepared and ready to go into the presence of the Lord. Get your Bibles out, get ready, and get prepared, because I'm telling you, the more you know, the more weaponry you have to fight with. We thank you for tuning in, and we pray that you're prepared to go to that next level, that next dimension in God. Well, Father, we thank you for this hour of power. We thank you for your awesome presence. We thank you. We thank you that we can call you and get an answer. Father, we just ask you to cover the lines with the blood of Jesus, and even to cover Apostle Emmons with your son's blood as he go forth and as he minister the word. Father, we ask you to open up the ear gates of your people. Allow them to receive what you're saying to them. And Father, we ask you in the name of Jesus that as the word go forth, that it will go out unchecked, unhindered by any outside force. And Satan, we serve notice on you. You have no legal rights to what belongs to God. And we thank you, Father, for this mighty move in the mighty, matchless name of Jesus. And we say amen and glory to God. We're going to give you a few minutes to meditate and prepare yourself, prepare your spirit, prepare your spirit. And the next voice that you would hear will be that of our own apostle and pastor, Leonard Emmons of Living Way Christian Center, located at 235 West 40th, and that's in the city of, the great city of Gary, Indiana, the city of glory. The next voice that you would hear will be Apostle Emmons. Enjoy the rest of the meditative music, and as soon as it ends, the next speaking voice will be Apostle Emmons. We thank you. Amen. God bless everyone. Apostle Emmons.
Good evening. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, woman of God. Thank you, prophetess. God bless you for you being a minister, a servant, a very anointed vessel. We appreciate this privilege and opportunity. We are so grateful to God for Kingdom Builders. We so appreciate this initiative and this work. We know that the vision for Kingdom Builders is going to take many decades to actually fulfill, especially with the call. And so we're so grateful to God for all of you this evening. We so appreciate this woman of God and her husband, Quentin. And we pray God's blessing upon them as well as their ministry and their outshoot and what God's birthing. We also are so grateful to God for all of you that are tuning in this evening. We trust that the Spirit of God would help us to advance. And Lord, we right now we just subject ourselves afresh to you. And we, Father, thank you for the grace that you've afforded us. Even you have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And tonight we appropriate Jesus. You tonight causing the glory of God, causing the heavenly realm to right now just to press in and just to move us afresh into the dimensions of God, into the glory, into the very weighty presence of God. And Father, we just thank you right now for the blood of Jesus, and we apply that blood right now to all of our eyes. We apply the blood of Jesus to our ears. We apply the blood of Jesus to our hearts afresh. Father, we appropriate the angelic host now. They're moving mightily upon all of us that are part of this experience. We pray, God, that you would cause the very revelatory presence and the glory of God to even be activated. We thank you, Father, for the angels of God even assisting us in this initiative, in this broadcast. We, Father, yield even this floor and this ground even to the Spirit of God, and we access the dimensions of heaven. We appropriate, Father, the manifestations that bear witness of you, Jesus. We thank you and bless you now for this. In Jesus' name, amen. We bless God again for all of you tonight. And very quickly, we just want to make an announcement. One thing that we just for the sake of having, for some of us, praise God, we like to have a word that seemed to help us to having a focus, whether it's for the day, a word for the day, a word for the week, a word for the month. And so, you know, praise God, I like having words for the month. Some of you that have been listening and you've been working and flowing with us, we've had a number of words that we want to focus. And the word for this month of June is the word manifestations. Manifestations. Manifestations, and we want you to be fully cognitive throughout this month of manifestations. We want you to be mindful also that Jesus came to the earth, and I want you to turn in your Bibles. We're going to, of course, do what we enjoy doing. We're going to do a little traveling tonight, praise God, throughout the Word of God. We want to go to our first passage, and we want to just be mindful of this, what it tells us in 1 John, praise God. The general epistle of John, first general epistle of John, praise God. And we want to look at a passage of Scripture that, bless God, we know that is a blessing. Praise the name of Jesus. Here in 1 John, the third chapter, you know, praise God for the Word of God. There's this scripture here, let's look at this. It says in verse 8, he that committed sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Again, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested. Manifested. Again, we're talking about manifestations. Here it tells us that Jesus was manifested. He was manifested. Now, throughout the scripture, we got all kinds of words, all kinds of verses, scriptural accounts, and we find that the word manifest is a word that, for the most part, is foreign in the Old Testament. And, the only place that we see this word manifest in the Bible, in the Old Testament, is Ecclesiastes, the 3rd chapter, verse 18. We note that that is the only place in the Old Testament that the word manifest, manifestation, is there. Now, the rest of the word, this word manifest or manifestation, is only in the New Testament. Now, we can draw all kinds of conclusions from that because the Spirit of God is the one that inspired. The Bible tells us that the Word of God is God-breathed. Now, listen to what it says in Ecclesiastes, the 3rd chapter, verse 18. It said, I say it in mine heart concerning the estate of the sons of men, that God might manifest them, and that they might see that they themselves are beasts. Now, this is something that is important for us to keep in mind when it comes to drawing some conclusions about mankind and the way the world and the way generally people kind of operate in the earth. And it says, and I said in mine heart concerning the estate of the sons of men, that God might manifest them. Now, that God might make known to them, that God might move by manifestation, that God might bring mankind into an understanding that without God, we are beast, that we act inhuman, that there is a coldness, that there is an unbelievable death style that we operate in. Now, some people say that they have a lifestyle, but when you consider folk that don't have an understanding, it says that God might manifest them, that they might see that they themselves are beasts. Now, we live in a very a dark world, and it's amazing that as we plunge ahead into these world events, and as we even pay attention to some of the things that are done in the earth, it's amazing that a lot of the events are categorized as disastrous, as unbelievable incidents, inhumane activities, how people are treating one another, and yet it's representative of the things that Jesus and the prophets prophesied about the last days. But I want us to take note here. This scripture here, it tells us that without God, mankind is very beastly, animalistic. We operate purely on instincts that are without the inspiration and without revelation. Now, the scripture that we looked at first, of course, there in 1 John, the 3rd chapter, it tells us there that God did something to help us to be delivered from any animalistic or any beastly-like qualities as the way we function and operate. Now, again, our word for the month is manifestations. We want to reveal God. We want to experience God. We want everything that heaven has for us. And yet it begins and ends, of course, with Christ Jesus the Lord. It says, he that committed sin is of the devil. Well, I guess if you don't know God, you're going to commit sin habitually. And when you study this scripture out, because the Bible says that there's none righteous, no, not one. However, this scripture here, committed sin, if you read it in the other translations and if you study this out, you'll see that what this scripture really says is he that practices a quote-unquote lifestyle of sin is of the devil. And so if you and I habitually practice sin and there is no conscious remorse, if there's no sadness about acting like the devil. I mean, once you get born again, once you have a revelation and an experience with God, once you get a heart transplant, then, of course, it affects how you think. It affects what you do. Your behavior changes. You just can't sin without any type of disregard or any kind of disregard of what God wants. Now, if you find yourself as a Christian and you can habitually sin and you really are saved, then obviously that means that you are oppressed or you're bound by some demonic power and you need some earnest deliverance right away. I mean, if you're born again and you still seem to be bound, you still seem to be one that's wrapped up and tangled up in an expression of sinful activity habitually, then of course that means that you are bound and that you are demonized to the point that you need to go and you need to ask somebody, where can I get some deliverance? Now, here it says, he that committed or practices sin is of the devil. Of course, you're animalistic. Of course, you're beastly-like. Of course, you're cold in the way you function and operate and the way you behave with others. For the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, you know, but God, in all of his love and all of his kindness and his desire to redeem man, it says, for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested. The Son of God was manifested. Manifested. As I noted before, the only place that this word manifest, manifestation, manifesting, the only place in the Bible, in the Old Testament, that we find this is in Ecclesiastes 3:18. The rest of the references of this word is found in the New Testament. Now, which is telling me that the Spirit of God, in highlighting this word in the New Testament, wants us to be aware of something that God wants us to recognize. First of all, this word manifest or manifestation, it comes from the root word. And as we look these words up, This root word, basically, this word manifest, it is referring to things from above. It is referring to superior to, or things that are superior to other things. So the Bible says, for this purpose was the Son of God manifested. The Son of God himself, you know, he has come to the earth, and he said himself, he said, I'm from above. I'm not of this world. I am from another world. He even told even those that tried him unjustly, He said, my kingdom is not of this world. So he himself, Jesus, came out of this other realm. This realm that existed in the earth and was a part of what the earth was all about before the first Adam ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That realm departed once Adam sinned. That realm, it left what we know as the planet Earth. However, Jesus himself came out of that realm. He came from above. He was manifested. Now, we also know that this word is a word that is to help us to understand. When you look at this word, praise the name of Jesus, it comes from the root word in the Greek. It's the word hopper. Now, again, this word is referring to something over, something from above, something from beyond, something from across. So it's referring to something that's not of the standard, something from a superior standard. It also comes from the word hupsos, which means elevation. So the word manifestation, manifesting, it is referring to something coming from an elevated place. It's coming from a place of high altitude. It's coming as the root word here, the second word, it says one of the meanings is from the sky. So when we start to see manifestations, we're talking about something from another realm, from another dimension, from a higher a level of existence. We also know that this word, praise God, manifest or manifestation, referring to where Jesus himself, the Bible says again, for this purpose was the Son of God manifested. So Jesus came from this elevated place, this a place from above, this place that's superior to the known world as we know it. It comes from the very chiefest of place. This word it means an outshowing. It means a shining. It's talking about a place of glory. Now, we know that Jesus took three of his disciples to what's called the Mountain of Transfiguration. And we know that he was transfigured in their sight, in their presence. And because of this transformation, of course, it had an effect upon these three disciples. One of the things that's so crucial for all of us is that we have a fresh encounter with God, that we are exposed to his presence, that we have an encounter that alters us, that changes us, that causes us to have a sense of heaven. Now, if we don't have those experiences, all we're left with is the philosophies of men. All we're left with opinions, theories, or I could say it this way, all we're left with is religion. Now, mind you can be very, very religious, and you can operate at church within your group and your ministry and your organization, and you can be an absolutely outstanding person there. Now, mind you, operating under the umbrella of the wisdom of men. But when we're talking about the kingdom of God, we're talking about something from above, something from an elevated place, something from a dimension beyond what you and I know as the natural. We're talking about manifestations. And manifestations, as far as the biblical accounts are, manifestations are purely speaking of the supernatural. Manifestations from the Bible standpoint of view refer to heavenly experiences, supernatural manifestations that reveal God. Now, mind you, that is the whole purpose for manifestations, is to unveil and reveal God Almighty. The scripture there in 1 John says, for this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now, Jesus came to the earth. He was revealed to mankind with a sole purpose of destroying the works of the devil. Now, if you and I are not having, are not experiencing manifestations, I dare suggest that the devil, unfortunately, has the upper hand in our midst. I dare suggest to you, my brother, and to you, my sister, that you probably are being overwhelmed by the enemy. We need manifestations. We need revelation. We need demonstrations and operations of God so that we can stay on the cutting edge of destroying the works of the devil in our lives. It is an absolute must that we walk in the dimensions of the supernatural, which means that we need fresh manifestations. Now, one of the things that births manifestations is revelation. Revelation. I need you to turn with us over to a very familiar passage of Scripture. We're almost done, believe it or not, in our discussion here, talking about manifestations. Over to the Gospel of Matthew, praise God. Very familiar passage of Scripture. Glory to God. We see some tremendous activity, and we see some manifestations. And, of course, it involves and revolves around Jesus. Verse 13 of the 16th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. It says here, praise God, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Now, mind you, we read the scripture there in 1 John 3. It says, for this purpose was the Son of God manifested in the earth, that he might destroy the works of the devil. It says, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? In verse 13, verse 14. And they said, these were Jesus' disciples, and they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. I mean, praise God, those are some really outstanding servants, prophets of God. I mean, my Lord, these were not, as far as these three guys, John the Baptist, Elias, Jeremiah, verse 15. He saith unto them, but who say ye that I am? So he's asking a personal question of all of his disciples, those 12 men that walk with him. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Who are you saying that Jesus is? Who do you say Jesus is to you? That's so important, because how you answer that will be representative of how much revelation you're walking in. How you respond, and mind you, the question is asked every day in your life. The devil has a way of screaming questions at us. And generally, the questions are always raised in an area that appears to be where God is not moving in your life. The devil always seems to scream at you about some perceived lack, some area where you seem to be suffering or you don't seem to have your needs met. The devil loves to scream and shout about how God himself is not God, and that obviously if he was God, you wouldn't have the lack in your life. Here, Simon Peter answered the question, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now, this is crucial for Jesus' question to them. This is actually the answer that he was looking for. Let's see what he says, verse 17. "And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father, which is in heaven." Now, there's a lot he says here. A lot. It said for flesh and blood. So he said, you didn't get this from the natural realm. He said, you didn't discover this in some book that you read. He said, nobody in the earth told you this. This is from that elevated dimension. This is from that dimension from beyond. This is from that place of the supernatural. This is from that invisible realm. This is from that other place. This is from the sky. This is from up yonder. You didn't get this from the news media. You didn't get this from some philosopher. This is not something that Eastern religion, New Age, teaches. He said, look what he said. He said, no, you got this from my Father, which is in heaven. Revelation of God comes from heaven. Revelation of Jesus, revelation of who Jesus is, it comes from heaven. It comes from the Father of lights. You and I need to be plugged in to heaven. We need to be so drenched and flooded. We need to be dripping with heaven. There needs to be a dimensional shift in our midst. There needs to be a glory that's tapped every day of our lives. Let's keep reading. It says, "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter." He said, "And upon this rock." Now, unfortunately, many, as we noted before, would say that Peter has become the rock. He said, "Upon this rock will I build my church, my ecclesia, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Then he also goes on to say, "And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven." Again, that's that word heaven again. "And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth," that's the natural realm, "shall be bound in heaven," that's the heavenly dimensions and the heavenly realm. "And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Again, there's a lot said here, but I want you to take note of the word heaven here. He said, "And I give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven," in verse 19. Here, Jesus, he delegates his authority. Remember, all authority comes from the spirit realm. All authority comes from the spirit realm. Why? because it's the spirit realm that has birthed all that we see in the natural realm. The natural realm is the child of the spirit realm. The Bible tells us that everything, even the worlds as we know them, the natural world and the world outside of the natural world, all of it, it came from God. God, He created everything that we can see from invisible elements, from invisible matter. Everything that you can taste, touch, see, or smell came from the invisible realm. Heaven is in that invisible dimension, the invisible realm. Jesus said, "What the information you got about me came from that invisible realm, from that heavenly dimension. It came from my Father." He said, "My Father is from that invisible realm, from that heavenly dimension, from that elevated place, that exalted realm that supersedes what we in the natural are dealing with every day. That realm is superior to this physical natural realm. That realm is chiefest. It is higher than this realm that you and I live in pleasantly." Jesus said that I'm going to build my ecclesia upon this rock. Now, the rock he's referring to is the revealed knowledge or the revelation that Peter received from the Holy Spirit. Revelation is what births manifestations. Revelation. Revelation births manifestation. Manifestations are the is the child of revelation. Did you hear what I just said? Manifestations are birth, are given birth by revelation. Whatever revelation that you have about Jesus is going to birth manifestations. You heard about Jesus being the Savior. You heard about Him giving His life for you. You heard about Him becoming the sin offering on the cross at Calvary. And with the workings of the Holy Spirit, who revealed Jesus as the Savior, glory to God. That revelation puts you in a place that you could be what? Saved. Born again. Now remember, this born again experience is what? From this other dimension. It is a heavenly experience. It is a supernatural experience. It is a miracle. To be born again is a miracle. To have your heart changed. For you to get another heart. For you to be birthed from above. When Jesus talked to Nicodemus, he told him that it is a supernatural thing. You actually have to be birthed from above. See, Nicodemus, he was telling, he asked the wrong question. Jesus gave him, though, the right answer. He said, you first have to be born again. Being born again is a supernatural reality. In verse 3 of the Gospel of John, the third chapter, he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." He goes on to say in verse 5, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom." I mean, all of this is, come on, you got, what are you talking about, Jesus? He's letting him know here that you got to, look what he said, verse 6, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." So Jesus here is saying that there is another birth that is crucial and necessary. He said, born of the Spirit. That's what? The Spirit. See, the things of the Spirit are from this other dimension. It's from this other realm. That there's a need for us to embrace this other dimension, this other realm, but we need revelation. We need revelation. Revelation is what puts us into a position where we can experience manifestations. Revelation comes from God. It is the Spirit of God. It is the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit that brings us into a place where we can receive revelation. Remember now, revelation is going to birth and bring us into a place of manifestation. The greatest revelation that we can have is Christ Jesus the Lord. Jesus himself is the foundation, and he is the absolute epitome of what revelation ought to be and is. Any spiritual quest, any spiritual pursuits that you have begin and end with Jesus. You might say, oh, my need, my brother is, you know, is finances. No, what you really need is a revelation of Jesus. You might say, well, the doctor said, you know, cancer is really my problem. You know, they said that there's no cure for my... No, you need a revelation of Jesus. You might say, well, I don't know. Now, my family is falling apart and I don't really know what to do. You need a revelation of Jesus. You need a fresh encounter with Jesus. You need to do what you can to look in Jesus' face. We got to hurry up. Turn over here finally. We're talking about manifestation. And we got some homework for you. Praise God. I know y'all like homework. Let's turn over here to 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter. Those that were with us on Sunday, you probably say, I knew he was going to go there. Yeah, you're right. You know me, don't you? Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. In 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, the Bible tells us that as Paul here, inspired by the Holy Spirit, that he's trying to do what he can to get the body of Christ to be able ministers. And look at verse 6. It says, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. See, it's the Spirit, y'all. Praise God, I guess, for having, some philosophical concepts and ideology, but we need a revelation of Jesus. We need revelation by the Spirit. We need to be, look what it said, but of the Spirit, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. So we need to be able ministers of the new covenant by the Holy Ghost. You know, and there's some of you out there, you know the Bible very well. And as I mentioned before, you know, I came across a guy who, you know, some time ago who told me he's read the Bible 30-plus times. You know, praise God, that's awesome. But when you look at some of his concepts and ideologies, you know, it's very obvious he doesn't know the author. If you know the author, if you have a relationship with the author, you know, your life is going to, it's going to reflect that. But if you have no revelation of who the author of the Bible is, then all you are is, you know, you're just full of knowledge, man's wisdom, which means your countenance, your behavior, your ideas about life probably are going to be poisoned with death and corruption. Verse 7, but if the administration of death written and engraven in stones was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect, by reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. The old covenant was done away, my brother, was done away, my sister. The new covenant is where Jesus has established. Let's keep reading. Verse 12. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. Moses had to put this veil over his face because of him spending the time with God. Him spending the time with God changed his actual natural body. Him being with God in this other dimension, in this place beyond the natural, in this elevated place, in this place of the supernatural, in this realm which birthed the supernatural, the natural, the invisible, and the visible. Moses spent, 40 days with God. And because he did, the very essence of that dimension got on his physical flesh. He glowed. He shined. His face shined. That was a glory that emanated off of his flesh. He was radioactive with the very presence of God, with the power of God. His face was so bright. He glowed in the dark. The folk had trouble being around him, so he had to put a veil over his face so that he wouldn't run folk off. I want me some of that. I don't want to run folk off, but I want me some of that glory, those manifestations. He had to do this. Let's keep reading. He put this veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. See, Jesus is the one that dismantled and destroyed the veil. The veil represents unbelief. If you, my brother, if you, my sister, if all you have is just man's knowledge about Jesus, if you don't have a personal relationship, if you don't know God, if all you have is theory and quote-unquote facts, if you don't know the truth, if you have not experienced a supernatural birth, if you know good and well that you didn't feel anything, you were absolutely the same, when you supposedly gave the preacher your hand and supposedly God your heart, if there was nothing that you got from that exchange, you need a supernatural encounter with God. Moses, in the natural, experienced the supernatural to the point that it changed the molecular structure of his skin. His physical body was altered in the presence of God. Needless to say, his ideas and concepts were changed too. Let's keep reading. We're almost there. But even to this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon the heart. If you can tell if you don't know God, if when you read the scripture and you consistently get nothing, then You probably don't know God. You probably need to get born again. One reason why is one thing that the Word of God is. See, the Word of God is a book of revelation. The Word of God from Genesis to Revelation, it speaks of Jesus. It reveals Jesus. It unveils the Christ, the Son of the living God. It reveals the Son of God, the manifested Son of God, the one that is in the earth and came to the earth to destroy the works of the devil. If you consistently read the Bible and you get nothing, zero, you need to get born again. Yeah, you might be a church member or somebody that's involved in, quote-unquote, a Christian organization or what have you, but I'm going to tell you, that's nothing compared to you having revelation of who Jesus is, because revelation is going to bring manifestations. You're going to end up face-to-face with the resurrected King of Glory. You're going to have an encounter with God, my brother, with God, my sister. And you desperately need that. I desperately need that. We have to have that. Other than that, we will be like animals chasing our own tails, trying to find satisfaction and fulfillment in things, cars, houses, clothes, pleasure, people, sex, drugs and alcohol, money. We will end up chasing our own tails. But I'll tell you this, when you have an encounter with God, when you experience that supernatural realm, that realm from above, that realm from beyond, when you have an encounter with the omnipotent King of Glory, when you have revelation, let's keep reading. It says, verse 16, nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, when it, now there is the word it, and the King James is kind of vague there, but really if you read the other translations, but when you or I turn to the Lord, true repentance, the veil shall be taken away. Here's another key, and this is revelatory. If, again, you are not experiencing the presence of God, if you have not a fresh encounter with God, one of the things you need to do is check your repenting. You need to check and see, are you repenting every day? I mean, some religious groups, some churches, and whatever they say. Well, you know, all you need to do is repent one time, or when you do a gross sin, oh yeah, you need to repent. Then no, we need to live lives of repentance. If you want to experience the supernatural, if you want to experience the very presence of God, there needs to be heartfelt repentance daily. Look what it said. Now the Lord, it says, nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken. The veil, the thing that would hinder you from seeing, experiencing, and being exposed to God. The veil represents those barriers. The veil represents those gates. Remember now, as we look, remind you back over in the 16th chapter of Matthew, there it tells us, Jesus said, I'm giving you authority. I'm giving you power. I'm calling you the ecclesia, the church, the called out one, the ecclesia. And he says that the gates of hell should not prevail against you. The gates of hell should not be prevailing against you, my brother. The gates of hell should not be prevailing against you, my sister. The gates represent veils, doors, gates, barriers of obstruction that will keep you from seeing God, keep you from knowing God. Let's keep reading. Now, the Lord is that Spirit. So we need to experience the Lord. We need to experience the Holy Ghost, the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is living. Look at verse 18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. Here's the homework. I want you, my brother, my sister, I want you to with heartfelt conviction throughout this month, I want you to set aside some fresh time to just to look in the Word of God. It says, in a glass. Oh, okay. In a glass. My. What in the world are you talking about? A glass. Well, the Word of God is this glass. Okay? It's this mirror of the Word of God. Look at the next chapter, fourth chapter, verse 4 through 6. In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, it shines out of the face of Jesus. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Christ's sake, or Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. See, the glory of God, it shines forth out of the face of Jesus. The Word of God is the tangible, natural element of God. Your Bible is a tangible, touchable element of who God is. Now, I didn't say God is the Bible. Please don't misunderstand me. But the Bible is a composite of the words that God has spoken. When you and I read the Bible prayerfully as children of God, and when we call upon the Holy Spirit to speak to us out of the Word, this is as though we are looking into the face of Jesus. As we look into the face of Jesus, this is also like looking into a dark glass. Paul even makes note of that in using and talking about the Word as looking into this dark glass. Verse 18, but we are with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, again, we're talking about manifestations, and we're hurrying to our close. Our time is up. The homework is that you would spend time in the Word, that you would just allow the Holy Ghost to direct you. And it may be that you just meditate on this scripture here in 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter and the 4th chapter, and that you would just get into the Word and just meditate on looking into the Word as though it is the face of Jesus. Now remember, Jesus has dismantled and destroyed the veil that kept mankind and God separated. When Jesus died on the cross at Calvary, the veil in the Herod's temple right there in Jerusalem was torn from the top to the bottom by an invisible force. See, the invisible realm was very much active at the crucifixion of Jesus, because Jesus came from that invisible realm. In that invisible realm, when Jesus took his last breath, God dispatched an angel to rip that veil of the temple, Herod's temple, from the top to the bottom, exposing that there was nothing in the Holy of Holies of any substance. Also acknowledging that God was doing a new thing. Now, God is doing a new thing, my brother, in our lives. God wants to invade our earth. God wants to come and to bring some super into our natural. He wants to bring and he wants to manifest and marry his super to our natural. We ought to, this month, we want to encourage you to gaze into the face of Jesus, to look in the face of the Lord. Allow yourself to become a gazer, a heaven gazer. We want you to look intently throughout these days, and we want you to just to spend some wonderful quality time soaking in the presence of God. We want you to cry out to God in repentance and fasting and praying. And you may say, when does it take all that? It takes more, actually, but we want you to begin. We want you to see yourself change. Here it tells us that we are changed when we do this. It says, but we are with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord, as we know it, it comes out of the face of Jesus. It comes from that supernatural realm, from that invisible realm. God Almighty is the one that has mandated this process. He wants this for you more than you do. He is waiting for us. He has broken down the middle wall of that partitioning wall, that veil. There's nothing to restrict the Lord from coming. However, remember, this is a whosoever will, let him come. The Bible says that we're to come boldly before the throne of grace. God wants us to come. He wants us. Remember, Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. It is up to us to seek God, to search the Lord out, to cry out for God, to put a demand on heaven. Now, heaven is ready to release the manifestation. Oh, y'all, listen to me. Let us pray. Father, for the sake of those who don't know you and the part of their sins, right now, Lord Jesus, right now, by your Spirit, raise in their midst those that are under the sound of my voice that have not, as we shared the word tonight, and some readily can see that they don't know you, O God. And Lord, right now, your word tells us in Romans, the 10th chapter, it gives us a key to experiencing the manifestations of the born-again experience. There you tell us in the word, you said that the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. And what's in our mouth? And yet in our hearts, that is the word of faith which we preach. It said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So here, my brother, here, my sister, it says that if you're willing to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, the Lordship of Jesus, therefore you acknowledging that you believe in your heart that God Almighty has raised Jesus from the dead, and you accepting Jesus as your Savior Lord tonight, and right now I beg of you to receive Jesus as your personal Savior Lord. And right now, just pray with me. Say, Heavenly Father, Lord, I believe the word of God to be true regarding you, Jesus. Jesus, you came to the earth. You became my sin bearer. You bore my sins on Calvary's cross. You died. You took my punishment. And on the third day, you were raised from the dead. I believe in your resurrection, and I accept you as my Savior and Lord now. Take control of my affairs. Reveal yourself to me as my Savior and Lord. Manifest yourself to me, O God. Unveil heaven afresh to me. Now, by faith, I do believe that I receive Jesus as my Savior and Lord. According to the Bible, the Word of God, I'm saved. I'm born again. I'm a new person in God. For those of you that have been experiencing frustration in your prayer, in your encounters with God, I just want to agree with you in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, you've given us authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the powers of the enemy. You've given us the keys of the kingdom. And right now I take authority over any and every principality or power that has oppressed, that has bound my brother, my sister, where they have habits of behavior that is not reflective of who you are, Jesus, in their lives. And Father, I take authority over every spirit that's not of God that has bound my sister and my brother in blatant sin in the name of Jesus. And I crush and smash the hand of the enemy in Christ Jesus' name. I break the power of any wicked or evil entity in Jesus' name. And I command you to loose my brother, loose my sister now in Christ Jesus' name. Father, I pray that the angels of God be released and dispatched on behalf of my brother, my sister, everyone under the sound of my voice, and call the angels of God to bind up, tie up, and fasten up every spirit that's not of God, that's tormenting my brother, my sister, and call the angels, oh God, to take the demons out of my brother, out of my sister, and away from them now in Christ Jesus' name. For in the name of Jesus, I command every spirit plaguing, oppressing, and binding my brother, my sister, I command you to come up and out now and to leave them in Christ Jesus' name. I loose the Spirit of God. I call for the glory of God to fall upon my brother, my sister now, bringing deliverance and freedom in Jesus' name. I call forth the blood of Jesus to be applied. I decree the blood of Jesus all over you, my brother, all over you, my sister, right now, dismantling and destroying the works of the enemy. I decree fresh manifestations of Christ Jesus, the Lord, in your life. I release the glory of God. I call forth the manifest presence of Jesus by the Holy Spirit, released into your lives now, in Jesus' name. Father, I pray, oh God, and I worship you, Elohim. I worship you, Elohim. I bless you, God Almighty, now. And I pray that you would reveal yourself. Lord, I call forth and decree manifestations. I loose manifestations upon manifestations of heaven, manifestations of the kingdom of God, manifestations of Christ Jesus the Lord, manifestations of angelic hosts, manifestations of supernatural happenings, signs and wonders. I release them now. I decree them all over the place in the lives of those under the sound of my voice. I decree things change. I draw forth, I call forth from that invisible realm, change, manifestations, demonstrations, and operations. I loose the power of God right now in Jesus' name. And Father, we give you glory and praise for this. We call it done. We decree it done. Even Jesus, that you would be magnified and glorified now. In Christ Jesus' name, we pray We, Father, bless you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Amen. What is Jesus to you? Amen. And how you answer that? How will you answer that? What is Jesus to you? As Apostle was going forth, I pray that you were receiving revelation on manifestation. Truly a blessed word, Apostle. As always, we are always
praise
so
God.
Delighted when we can come and hear a word from God, fresh manner, fresh. And so I just thank everyone that's on the line. We have a few internet listeners that have some statements, and I just want to, one from Lisa, she says, thank you, man of God, revealing to me about the veil. Would like to hear more about the veil. And I think that's it. And then we have another.
Well, praise God.
We have another one that says, this is a question. It's from Janice. Is revelation received when or through prayer?
Of course. Of course. Absolutely. Prayer is that supernatural transport system. It is God's system of operation. It's that transport of ideas, thoughts, concerns, and we express them. It is God's system of operation. And so the transport system, this communication system of God, it, remember, God established it, and it's to bring revelation. I mean, that's God's desire from his end. When we pray, it's so that he could respond supernaturally. I mean, it never was supposed to be some kind of a delightful, philosophical thing. It's always supposed to be God himself, who, of course, is the omnipotent God. And it's to reveal himself, and, of course, he can only do that as he is. He's the father of the supernatural. So, yes, absolutely.
Okay, we're going to take two more questions. We have one that says, in 1 Corinthians 12 and 7, and it reads, but the revelation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with. Can you explain that to me? And that's from Jack Weston.
And that's 1 Corinthians 12.
Okay, he says 1 Corinthians 12 and 7.
Praise God. Now, mind you, this is what, as you see in your Bibles, that some of you have Bibles where it says talking about spiritual gifts. But, when we start to look at, the manifestations of the Spirit, it's, again, it's God. Remember now, the gifts of the Spirit are in the earth, and they're set in the body of Christ to reveal Jesus, first of all. Remember, as much as, we hear a lot of things about the gifts of the Spirit, remember, it's the gifts of the Spirit. It's again, God Almighty putting something in place from that invisible realm so that he could communicate to his church, the body of Christ, himself. I mean, when you look at all the gifts of the Spirit, they are set in place so that Jesus himself would be released. I mean, all of the miraculous demonstrations and operations, all of that is the Spirit of Christ. And so when it says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with us. Remember now, this word here that Paul is writing is to the church, the ecclesia at Corinth. And so it is not for the world. Now, mind you, yes, the world ought to be beneficiaries of this gifting because that is the it. You know, God wants to move upon his body so that his body can be equipped, so that his body can be mature and complete, so then that the body then could, what, minister to the world. So, yes, this this is from the Holy Ghost. This is from Jesus. And this is so that the body can profit and benefit, so that the body can again turn to the world and bear witness of Jesus. Now, not a philosophical or historical Jesus, but a supernatural Jesus, a miraculous Jesus.
Amen. Amen. And then the last question. Okay, he says, so that's for the common good. Okay, amen. The last question is, can manifestation come without revelation?
Of course. And, you know, I would dare suggest that probably most of the encounters that most of us have are first without revelation. And yet, revelation, of course, helps us to understand. Okay? But many times God will release a manifestation, especially when we look at signs and wonders. I mean, signs and wonders cause us, I mean, when you experience a sign and wonder, first of all, it's no denying, okay, that something happened that you cannot explain. And it, of course, calls you to wonder, what in the world happened? It is a sign and a wonder. And so supernatural manifestations put us in that realm where we end up trying to figure out, and if we're smart, we start to call on God, we start to look in God's book, the Bible, to find the answer there first. And as we call upon God, look in God's book, the manifestation will always lead us back to Jesus, always back to God. And then the Lord can bring us the revelation that the manifestation is there for. The revelation is always going to lead us back. It's going to lead us back to Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Well, we just bless the internet listeners for those questions. We're just going to ask those that
Praise
have
God.
Called in, if you want to say anything, we're going to ask you to press 1 on your line. And we'll open up the line if you have any questions or comments at this time for those that have called in.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Amen. Evangelist Hannah.
Praise the name of Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Apostle, wish you dearly.
Praise the Lord. Apostle, woman of God.
I don't have any questions, but I enjoyed the teaching. Glory
to God.
I enjoyed the teaching as always. I miss the teaching. Glory to God. I just wanted to say
Ooh,
I love man. You.
Well, I love you too.
God is truly good. God is truly good, and again, I truly enjoyed the word tonight, and I'm going to have to go back and listen to it again, and God bless Apostles.
Well, I bless you too, woman of God. We'll be calling you soon.
Okay.
Okay.
Amen. We just really, really, truly thank God for all that he has given to Apostle Emmons to be a blessing to God's people, and we don't take it lightly. And I do just hear another internet listener that's saying, thank you with capital letters. Praise God. Well, we're going to cover, if there's no other questions, we're just going to cover Apostle with word of prayer. And I'm going to ask Evangelist, can you do that for us? Are you in a place where you can pray?
Yes.
Amen.
Yes, glory to God. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, we just plead the blood of Jesus over Apostle Emmons right now and his family and the ministry, Lord God. We thank you that no weapon formed against him shall prosper in the mighty name of Jesus.
Welcome,
we come against every spirit of retaliation,
Lord,
of backlash in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you that your word would forth tonight with power and might, Lord God, and penetrate the hearts of the listeners in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God. We thank you, Father God, for the spirit of wisdom and understanding that you have poured into the man of God. We thank you, Lord God, that the eyes of his understanding is being even more enlightened, God. We will truly know the hope of his calling and his inheritance in the saints. In the mighty name of Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, you commission your warring angels to war on his behalf, to war on his family's behalf, and behalf of Living Way Christian Center. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God. We plead the blood for everything belongs to the man of God. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God. We thank you for a supernatural overflow for the ministry in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God. And we thank you for all that you have deposited in the man of God through the Holy Spirit in the mighty name of Jesus, God. So we give you all the praises and honor and glory for our apostle, Lord God, in Jesus Christ's holy name. I pray, amen, and glory to God.
Hallelujah.
And Apostle, would you like to have the last word?
I just want to encourage, please, we talked about it on Sunday. We are saying it again today. Manifestations, that's the word for this month of June, manifestation. But we need to practice what's talked about there in the 18th verse of the third chapter of 2 Corinthians. We need to gaze into the face of Jesus and look, you know, intently and wait so that we can experience a supernatural change for this month. And also, again, just please do whatever you can to press in so that you can see the glory of God.
Amen. Well, again, we thank all our listeners for tuning in and staying with us.
Hallelujah.
And even all the questions, we pray that you were all your questions were answered to the best of that God want to give you today and this evening. And we don't have any more questions on the board, so we can assume that our hearts and minds are clear.
Yes, Lord.
And
hallelujah.
We're going to end the line tonight, but we want to encourage you to join us, Kingdom Daughters. We are on the prayer line 6 days a week at 5 a.m. Central Time. You can call 218-895-0240, I believe. I dial that number so fast.
Hallelujah.
And you put in the 7729 pound, the word pray. You'll be in the prayer room with us. We're there. We're waiting to pray for you. And until we meet again, be in expectation for manifestation.
Hallelujah.
Revelation. God bless you all. Have a blessed, wonderful rest of the evening, a supernatural evening. And getting in your Bibles and meditate so God can give you some revelation and so
hallelujah.
That manifestations can come forth. God bless
hallelujah.
You all. We're going to say have a good night, have a blessed night, and God bless you.
Hallelujah.
Good night, everyone.
Bless God. Hallelujah. Good night.
In the beginning, God created man from the very dust of the earth. He breathed into him the breath of life, and he became a living nephesh, a living soul. God breathed into him his destiny. He breathed into him his purpose. He breathed into him goals and concepts and creativity. Whether you know it or not, all of that is down inside of you. The Apostle Paul said, those he did foreknow, he did also predestine that we might be conformed into the image of his dear Son. The reason that God sent you into the earth is so that you can exhale what God inhaled inside of you. So that you can push out of you all of the things that God has put inside of you. I came to tell you tonight, you're not through living yet. You still got work to do. You still got buildings to build. You still got songs to write. You still got works to do. You are pregnant with possibilities. You are loaded with potentials. You are filled with concepts and ideas that haven't come to birth yet. Bind every devil that would hinder you from receiving what God has for you. And don't let any devil in hell make you abort the dream that God has inside of you. Tonight, my brothers and my sisters, I decree a miracle. I declare a blessing. I speak it into existence without intimidation. Touch somebody and say, manifest. You're going to manifest who you really are. You're going to manifest what God put inside of you. You're going to manifest your creative power, your voice, your potential, and your creativity. I rose to my feet like a physician in a delivery room to tell you that after all the pain you've been through, you finally come to the time that you can push. Touch somebody and say, push it out.
Thank you and have a blessed night.